Chapter 18. The Fall of Becky Sharp. Becky's wish finally came true. She and Rawdon met the king. Thanks to Lady Jane, she and Rawdon were invited one evening to a reception at the palace. Sir Pitt and Lady Jane came in their carriage to drive with Rawdon and Becky to the king's palace.
"You look beautiful, Becky," said Lady Jane.
Rawdon looked at his wife admiringly and suddenly noticed her diamond earrings and necklace.
"I've never seen that jewellery before," Rawdon said. "Where did you get it?"
Sir Pitt got so nervous that he could hardly breathe. You see, he had given Becky the necklace.
Becky laughed and said, "I hired them from a jeweller, of course. Wasn't that clever of me?"
Sir Pitt relaxed and gave Becky a grateful look. At the palace, they entered a large room full of people, and Becky and Rawdon were soon presented to the king. Later, Lord Steyne, who was also at the reception, kissed Becky's hand and whispered,
"The earrings look marvellous on you."
Yes, the diamond earrings were a present from Lord Steyne. He had given Becky other jewellery too, and money. It was all hidden in the same box into which she had put George's love note so many years before. The following day, Becky and Rawdon's names appeared in a newspaper article about the king's reception. Later, the society ladies of London discussed their disapproval of that governess being presented at court. However, despite their disapproval, they could no longer ignore Becky and her gambling husband, and the Crawleys were invited to all the best dinner parties in London. Although the Crawleys socialised with the richest people in London, they owed more and more money. One afternoon, as Rawdon was walking home from a game of billiards, Mr. Moss, the local magistrate, came up to him.
"Good afternoon, Mr. Crawley," he said. "You owe a lot of money to many people in this town. You've got to come with me now, and don't try to escape. Two of my men are behind us."
Rawdon accompanied the men into a cab, which stopped a short time later in front of a large house. It was not really a prison, but a place where gentlemen who owed money were kept until their family or friends could pay their debts. Rawdon was taken to his room, where he wrote a note to Becky, asking her to come with the money to pay his debts. He sent it off with a messenger and waited for Becky to arrive. But Becky didn't come. Instead, he received a note from her.
"My dear Rawdon, please forgive me, but I can't come until morning. I've got a horrible headache and must stay in bed. Love, Becky."
"How can she just leave me here all night?" Rawdon thought angrily.
Then he remembered that Pitt and Lady Jane were in London, and he sent them a note explaining his situation. 2 hours later, Lady Jane arrived.
"Pitt's still at Parliament," she explained, "but I've brought the money."
"Thank you so much," Rawdon exclaimed. "I knew I could depend on you."
After his release, Rawdon refused Lady Jane's offer of a drive home.
"No, thank you, Lady Jane. I prefer to walk," he said. "I need time to calm down before I see my wife. I'm very angry that she didn't come to release me from here."
When he got close to his house, he saw a light in the living room window.
"Becky's supposed to be in bed," Rawdon thought. "So why is there a light in the living room?"
As he opened the front door, Rawdon heard Becky laughing. He ran into the living room where a little table was set for dinner. Becky, wearing an elegant dress and lots of jewellery, was sitting on the sofa. Next to her, holding her hand, was Lord Steyne. Seeing her husband, Becky jumped up from the sofa.
"Rawdon!" she cried in surprise.
"It's not what you think. Please believe me. Lord Steyne, tell him I'm innocent."
Lord Steyne was furious that Rawdon had come home. He even suspected that the Crawleys had arranged for Rawdon to find him and Becky alone.
Perhaps they had plans to blackmail him or to tell his wife.
"Tell him yourself," he shouted.
Rawdon hit Lord Steen in the face. Then he turned to Becky.
"Did he give you that jewellery?"
Rawdon asked. His face was pale and angry. Becky didn't answer, but her quick look at Lord Steen told Rawdon that he had guessed correctly.
"Take those things off. Give them all to me," Rawdon ordered.
Becky obeyed immediately and gave him her jewellery.
"Get out,"
Rawdon shouted, throwing it all at Lord Steen, "and take this with you." As soon as Lord Steen had left, Rawdon grabbed Becky's arm and asked in a cold, angry voice,
"What else did you get from him? Did he also give you money?"
Becky said nothing. Rawdon ran upstairs and angrily searched through all of Becky's drawers and cupboards, and finally found her secret box. Inside were watches, jewellery, love notes, and a great deal of money.
"If a man gives you valuable jewellery and so much money, it can only mean one thing," Rawdon said quietly, his heart breaking.
"I know what it must look like to you," Becky answered, "but you must believe me. I've done nothing wrong."
"You hid it from me. You might at least have given me some money when I needed it. And you are lying about it now," Rawdon shouted. "I'm giving him back every pound."
Rawdon took all the money and walked out of the house. After he left, Becky went downstairs and gathered up all the jewellery. Then she put it into her secret box, thinking, "If I ever need money, I can sell these." After taking the money to Lord Steen's house, Rawdon went and told Pitt what had happened. Pitt didn't like what he heard, and he gave Rawdon a great deal of sympathy. He had far less sympathy for Becky, who arrived at his house the following morning.
"Rawdon told me all about it," he said coldly.
"I'm innocent," Becky said. "Lord Steen and I were only celebrating. Look."
She gave Pitt the morning newspaper, where there was an announcement that Colonel Rawdon Crawley had been made governor of an island in the British colonies.
"I didn't even try to tell Rawdon last night," Becky continued. "He was so angry that he wouldn't have listened to me. Lord Steen and I wanted to surprise him. Oh, Pitt, I think Rawdon's going to leave me."
"I think he might," Pitt said. "Lord Steen gave you money, and that makes it look like..."
"Yes, I know what it looks like," Becky said, crying. "I admit that Lord Steen liked me very much, more than a married man should like any woman apart from his wife. But I gave him only my friendship. He promised to help us. He was even going to use his influence to have you made a lord. He gave me money so that I'd have it for the future. You know how Rawdon is with money. If I had told him about it, he would have spent it. Believe me, Pitt, I am guilty of nothing except trying to help my husband. Please try to convince Rawdon."
"I'll try," Pitt said, beginning to believe Becky's story. Later that day, Pitt met Rawdon and told him everything that Becky had said. Rawdon refused to believe Becky's story, but finally agreed to accept the job of governor.
"It will take me away from London and from Becky," he thought.
The one person he was sad to leave was his son, little Rawdon. But the island would have been a lonely place for him to grow up in. So Rawdon asked Pitt and Lady Jane whether the boy could live with them, and they agreed at once. Becky and little Rawdon were also very happy about this, because both of them knew that Becky did not really enjoy being a mother. As soon as Rawdon had completed all his preparations, he left to begin his new job. He wrote to little Rawdon every week, and every month he sent money to Becky for her to live on. Becky's reputation was now ruined. Society ladies talked about how Becky had taken advantage of Lord Steen, and she was no longer invited anywhere. Even Pitt and Lady Jane would no longer see her.
If she accepted jewellery and money from Lord Steen, you can be sure that she also had a love affair with him, Lady Jane told her husband. I will not allow that woman to enter our home again. If she does, I will take the children and leave.
Lord Steen's friends also spread rumours about Becky's behaviour, and Pitt eventually believed them. He agreed with his wife that they shouldn't see Becky any more. And so, with no more friends or family, Becky soon left England.